Hey everybody, welcome back. We're playing Dreadlore. It's a tabletop role-playing game that rewards immersive roleplay. Characters tend to bid traits that their character has and stuff to do stuff so they can change the fiction as opposed to just relying on dice rolls. But if it's a tough situation, we still have to throw dice down sometimes.
Still gotta pay the piper, baby.
Yep. Your cast involves me, the Drizzle is Simon, Ken Howe plays Nord, Andrea Elliot Johnson plays Leah, Daniel Hulker plays Tony, and we have Bill Buncombe as the Arbiter this evening.
Big ol' bitch.
Basically every evening. But for the music, we'd like to thank all lowercase letters and Mr.
Oh, good letter.
Our Patreon people are Nostalgic, Natalia Klein, Tim Roberts, Daniel Hulker, who's right somewhere around through here. all the pretty images and the cool technological stuff that you see is thanks to Couchfire Media. Without them, we wouldn't be on the air. Thanks to Replay Productions. Without them, we also wouldn't be on the air, but can say fuck them anyway.
That's right.
That's called skin.
And at the first part, we didn't do it, but we'll do it now. Who is our sponsor? He's like, I wasn't ready.
Our sponsor tonight is the Winesburg, Ohio Association of Live Action Role-Playing Games, or WOA LARP.
They love us.
This association of live-action role-playing games in the greater Winesburg, Ohio metropolitan area represents the interest of all member LARPs and their participants. They are a trademark organization made up of five different LARPs, but not the one that Larry runs out of his basement. Larry is weird and not welcome at three of the other LARPs. The other two still allow Larry to play in their LARPs until he takes the hint. This has been going on for years.
Yeah. Hey, Hulker, what's a LARP?
Live action role playing game.
What do you know about it?
Nothing. They just sent me this copy and I just thought I'd read it. I mean, they pay, so.
Yeah. How much they get?
I don't know what one is.
This is their second time sponsoring us, isn't it?
Oh, is it their second
time? Last time was actually one of the component LARPs of the Winesburg, Ohio Association of LARPs, and it was a Requiem LARP. It had been going on for 7 weeks. It's a Parliament LARP. And it was sponsored by Larry.
Oh, Larry?
Yeah.
Wait. I thought Larry was kicked out.
Oh, wait, he was.
Not at this one.
He was kicked out of Vampire LARP, but then he started his own LARP, where he appointed himself as a prime minister.
Sounds like we should be on Larry's side. He keeps moving around and then sponsoring our show.
Yeah, I'm into that.
No. Yeah.
Thanks,
well, we had another LARP. We had another sponsor out of Winesburg. It was a band called Reverse Flush.
They love
and
it.
And they went on a countywide tour. I think that's probably concluding at this point. Played at every open mic gig, both of them. and a basement parties. They can sponsor us again if they want. They might next week if they have another album or a single they want to drop. I don't know. I'll have to call their agent.
We need to make sure to say we're big in Winesburg.
We're big.
Yeah.
Reverse.
Are they hard?
That's fucking.
Did they get hard before they did this? Or?
Yeah, they did.
Oh man, I bet they got hard.
They're hardcore.
Hardcore. Nord, you feel this energy around you. Rebecca tucks her head into the nook of your neck and your shoulder. You can feel her shaking like a leaf, utterly terrified, murmuring to herself something, and perhaps it's a nursery rhyme. As this energy, this pressure differential occurs behind you, and almost like a thunderclap, you somehow know that Marcus is gone. The action's on you. What are you doing?
Are you okay?
No.
How'd you get here?
I don't know.
But
she eats an apple.
Why are you eating right now? Everything's gross. Everything's,
I don't know,
gross. I give her a big kiss on the mouth. So good to see you.
He just wants some of that apple.
She
tried to fish the apple.
The apple. Andrea is not impressed. Andrea, are you playing fucking Dreamcast? What are you doing? Oh my god, you are! Oh my god, you are! Oh, you suck. You're playing. Is it Dreamcast? That wasn't Dreamcast.
No.
Xbox, right?
No. Maybe. Sorry.
What?
I need to keep my brain working.
Let us see your shame. Let us see your Your video's on, Andrea. Oh my god. I was like, is that, what's she doing? She's playing fucking Dreamcast. What are you playing?
Armored Core.
What's the game? What is it?
Armored Core.
I think I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
Is that tanks?
It's a mech game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not tanks. They're like mech.
I needed something to keep my brain working.
Walking tanks.
Great. Not the descriptions. Fuck. All right.
I'm listening. I'm just, you know, doing so many things.
Do your thing. Do your thing. God almighty. Nord, the action's on you. You kiss Rebecca Foster.
I try to. Can I bid something? Are we in the dread or is the dread ended?
We're still in dread. Definitely.
I'm going to bid Smoke and Mirrors to kiss her to see if she's like. I'm not going to use tongue. I'm trying to assess if she's like a zombie.
What?
Is this like a frog and a princess situation?
I want to assess, like, you know, like it, Marcus. Marcus was.
It was episode 26 that I lost them. I'm pretty sure it was episode 26.
And then during the process, you know, he always kissed her. Is like, oh yeah, no, this is not what a zombie gives tongue like. I know, yeah, I know what a zombie.
I just want to see if she feels like a human or if she feels like a octopus or if does she taste like hell. I mean, is she a demon spawn?
You got Andrea playing fucking video games, and Nord's like, you know, litmus test, making out with zombies. Hoku, what are you doing over there? You got to be like, I don't know, like programming or like putting together like fucking model ships, something.
I'm taking notes.
Oh, Drizzle, what about you?
Wish I had like Legos I could pick.
What's your side hustle? All right. Sure. You kiss her. And what do you bid?
Smoke and mirrors.
Bidding smoke and mirrors. She kisses the same that she did that one night.
Oh, nice.
And in great. Fact, you doing this, giving her this human connection, seems to calm her down in a way.
All right, good. Why don't we try to figure out a way to close the... You're not going to freak out. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do. But just stay close, and then we're going to get out of here.
I'm not leaving your side. As she's clung to you like a damsel.
Well, let's go find Tony.
He's right there. Why are you wearing that? Why are you all wearing animal skins?
It's a long story. Short story is we needed to blend in to get here.
So we robbed some people.
Where are we? And she looks around.
I led the charge because I missed you. And, you know, clearly they kidnapped you. So I led the charge to save you from this terrible situation. And now is the time to get you out because...
Chaos die. Because she believes you. We're just going to see which way this goes.
I rolled a 2.
Not a 1. She kisses you again. Rebecca Foster has finally found someone who cares.
And we can sort this all out when you get home later, but I think it's important that we get out of this terrible, terrible place. Tony, will you help me find the door to hell? And can we shut it, please? I'm probably yelling this. Yeah, we got to shut the door to hell.
You mean there's another door to hell?
There's another door to hell. Remember that creature that we had to, like, smear ourselves in pee to get by?
Ugh.
We might have to... maybe that's the door to hell, but I don't know. We got to figure it out. Where is Leah? Simon? Where's Mariah?
Yeah, where's Mariah?
Are you saying this loudly, or are you just sort of saying it to Tony?
Yeah, I'm pretty loud. How far am I away from Tony? 20 feet? 40 feet?
Yeah, Simon, you hear Simon and Leah. Leah, over the din of your video game that you're playing, you hear... I can tell that you're still playing it, Leah. You're doing... Listen, I teach school. You're like, oh no, I'm looking at the camera. You're still playing the fucking game. You hear fucking Nord yelling your name. Leah. Where's Leah?
Leah's still burning Lady Callie's body.
Well.
And making sure that she
going up.
I just want to make sure she stays dead, you know.
Punching the brick. A little
coin. I want to make sure she stays dead. Because, you know, there have been a lot of corpses that keep on coming back, and we don't want hers to come back.
That's true. There's 3 other corpses in here of dead acolytes, and 1 beheaded one that you haven't burned either.
Yeah, I know. Taking care of Lady Callie comes a priority since, you know she's the head honcho.
Simon,
where's John?
What are you talking about?
John is on the floor. I've drug him behind one of the pillars so he would be out of sight and hopefully safe. Is where he is. That's Matt. Sorry, that's Game Talk, so you know.
Blue hand guy.
Yeah.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, he's all kinds of fucked up.
You'll just hear Simon yell, I'm searching this back room back here.
Well, tell me if you find any gateways to hell.
What's he talking about? Mariah says to you, Simon.
We had to push a monster back into hell.
You know he's on stuff. He's always kind of lofty.
I think he's telling the truth.
How can he hear us? As Mariah turns around, we'll say that, Tony, since you're using magic, you're talking to everyone as though you're speaking in a megaphone.
Yeah. Because I'm in a whole other room.
By the powers of Grayskull, I have the power!
All right. Let's center really quick. Do I need to draw a map? Drizzle, will you describe what the room looks like, please?
Okay. It is an octagon room like this. We came in from the south through big double doors. There are four pillars, two on each side, kind of equidistant. They go all the way up to the ceiling, which the ceiling's like 40, 50 feet high, right? 50, 60. In the middle is a ziggurat that kind of does this number, which goes up about 20 feet, and there's a little plateau, and then it starts going up again 10 more feet. Out of the four columns, Detective John would be about here. I am back. There's another door up at the north. It's smaller than the one that goes it that came in, but I'm in that room with Mariah. It's T-shaped like this and goes down, and we're in there searching. Now, out of that area, everybody else was on the western side, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you guys are over this way. Is that good? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So Leah's on the first level.
Everybody's on the floor. I don't think anybody's on the
Zimbabwe. I'm up on the second level.
Oh, you are?
I ran up to try and find Rebecca.
Okay,
and
then
you're in the back.
Yeah.
But there's a third level.
Yeah, there's the third level.
Okay. Imagine a really big room. I want everybody to nod or raise your hand as you understand this. Okay? Leah, I know you're going to have to use one hand. I know you are. The room itself, it doesn't really matter that it has eight sides. It does have eight sides. This is a lore thing. Just imagine a really big fucking room. In the center of the room is a ziggurat. Okay? So, Holker, it's like a Mayan temple. One of those pyramids. You guys came in the south side entrance. So if you were to imagine this in your brain, if you were to draw it, you came from the bottom. That's the south side. That's where Tony and Nord are. On the other end, there's another door. That's where Mariah and Simon are. Leah is up there too, and she's burning Lady Cowley's body. It's behind the ziggurat. Ziggurat's right in the center. Think of a square in the center. That's where the ziggurat is. Does all that make roughly sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, Tony, as you're using this magicka, we'll say that as it bends reality, it's literally what void magic does. Kind of like in a room where like the acoustics are such to where you can talk into the wall and someone on the other side can hear you. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
For a moment, Tony, it's like you're right there. You can hear Mariah and Simon. And Simon, you and Mariah can hear Tony. As you hear that conversation, it fades just as quickly as your magicka fades, Tony. The scene will be set on Simon and Mariah. Simon, what are you doing?
Oh, this cavern must echo. I had been observant to investigate the end.
Hold on, I'll area.
All good.
Where the chest was.
As you look around, being observant, You see, the far wall is also catacombs. In the recesses, three shelves high, all dust, and looks like the little shelves actually go back recessed into the wall quite a ways. Using your flashlight, you can see there might even be a way to get on your belly or on your back and shuffle through this tiny slit, and maybe there's something beyond this, but it looks real dirty and claustrophobic. To the left, you see a large trunk. It has a big padlock. It looks like a treasure chest. And to the right, you see another one. These are about the size of footlockers. A person could get inside of them. It would be uncomfortable. Beyond them, on down either way, there's detritus. It looks like fishing supplies. You see like a big anchor, for example. You'll see wood and stuff that's just been sort of thrown. Maybe it even looks like part of the ceiling has collapsed just a little bit. It's old back here.
I'm going to look at the... So does one has a padlock on it and the other one doesn't?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to go to the one that has the padlock on it. Do I need to bid again to check it?
To check it for what?
I'm going to bid detects to see if it is has some sort of seal on it, like the chest that froze stuff. Is my reckoning.
Right. Does it have a hermetic seal?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
As you search around, how do you go about doing this?
Well, because normally, like, if there's any kind of gap in between the lid and stuff, I'll take my finger and like put it in there, because you can feel like the rubber on a refrigerator to tell that there's something there. And if I don't feel anything like that, I'll try to jiggle it a little to see if I can tell anything.
As you do this, you feel it jiggle up and down. It seems like it's not hermetically sealed. And okay. You find no rubber or anything.
Kiddo, do you want to try and lockpick this padlock real quick?
Yeah. As she walks over and with her tools, she starts and kind of stops and looks at you. Simon, the light.
Oh, sorry.
As you hold the light up and she gets down. You want to roll for it?
Sure. What is her?
Yeah, D10 and a D8.
D8. She got one success.
As it takes her maybe a couple minutes, Harry Buncombe says, "Everybody relax, I'm here."
Yeah. And he also redeemed hydrate. So.
Oh, we got to hydrate.
Hydrate.
As it takes her a couple minutes, but and she's maybe getting a little frustrated, just like anyone who tries to open a lock would get frustrated. But she gets it. Finally. I need to practice.
Good
job.
This
is really annoying.
Well, in all fairness, you just learned how to do this a day ago. So...
Yeah, but if I'm not good at something immediately, I don't even want to do it or try it ever again.
Well, look at how many locks you've picked with just a little bit of practice you've had.
I know, but whenever I fuck up like this, it makes me feel like I'm stupid.
You didn't fuck up. It's still open, isn't it?
As she smiles at you.
Here. Step behind me real quick. In case something happens when I open this.
She does.
And I'll take the padlock off. And I will, like, slowly start to lift it until I get it open.
Harry Buncombe, congratulations on the watch streak reached. 5-stream streak. What? Leah, you have taken the sacrificed person's shirt, lit it on fire, and have thrown it on top Lady Cowley's corpse as her clothes are now catching fire. There's the smell of bacon. Or as Holker says, long pig. Or is it Drizzle? One of you guys.
No. Drizzle.
Was that Drizzle?
Yeah.
Long pig.
But that's not bacon at all, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally long pig what she's doing, so...
She is making long pig.
She's making some long pig. Holker, you get a narrative point by Harry Buncombe.
Thank you.
Somebody's going to get a pip.
Burning flesh. It's what's for dinner.
Leah, yeah. Action's on you.
Leah will be watching the fire as it spreads, just sort of making sure. Well, she'll be looking to see if Lady Callie starts like moving at all or twitching, just because she's at this point she's worried. Like, what, you know, we killed not Marcus, Cloyce, like what, like half a dozen times, and he kept on coming back, and Leah's like, can't afford to have Lady Callie come back, you know, particularly not behind us, because she's kind of the the final boss, so to speak. And we don't want her to finish what she was trying to do while we're cleaning up, you know.
As you're standing there watching, you see that her body's, you know, it's a corpse, it's not moving. There's a crackling as the skin starts to, burn, the skin starts to burn. You can tell that her clothes being on fire like this are not gonna, it's not gonna destroy the body. She doesn't have enough clothes on to keep the body on fire. But you do see how these third, second, first degree burns are starting, you know, to erupt on the skin, and it's blistering up and such. She's not twitching. Her head is face down in the mud.
As she is on fire, her legs are probably exposed, are they not?
Yep.
So Leah will actually start dragging her towards the brazier that she actually got the fire from.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like you said, noting that that's not going to be enough to burn her, burn her flesh away. Leah will actually drag her body to the brazier and and toss her in.
All right, as you start dragging her body over there, what do you bid to move this body?
Let's see. What do I have left is the real question. I have soldier.
Bidding soldier, you heft your legs up and huff it, injured as you are. You get the body to the brazier itself. As I described it before, you had to get on your tiptoes to get to the actual bowl of the brazier. So lifting her body up and over is going to be very, very difficult for one person.
Are there any knives around?
No.
Oh, man. I'm going to start her up and tossing her in there like...
I mean, you can look around. There's no kitchen knives hanging around on the floor.
I'm kind of surprised I haven't picked up a knife at this point. I don't know how I managed to not do that yet.
Technically, there is a bladed weapon.
There's a throwy stick.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Leah, remembering that, looks around to see if it's anywhere nearby.
Yeah, it's actually next to where Lady Callie's body was.
So Leah will actually go ahead and jog back there.
You do. You see this grab it. Large haft, like the thickness of like a baseball bat. This thing is a good 8 feet long, and it has a wide, sharp metal tip.
Good, good.
No one yet has figured out what this weapon is.
Well, we did, but it wasn't during the game.
What did you say it looked like? So it looks like it's a big, haft with like a long...
Almost looks like a spear, but the one, it's oversized. Two, the haft of it, this wood is rather thick. Like, it's actually kind of hard to grip. It's so thick. It's not really made for like perhaps a person to use, maybe. The end of it has this long spear-like metal part that's very sharp and kind of has a little bit of a hook on the end. It almost looks like a Kwando, but it's not.
Interesting.
It looks like it's made for throwing.
Does Leah see any kind of like symbols or anything on it as she's looking?
Oh yeah,
over?
There's runes all up and down the blade and the haft. Big cuneiform runes.
Do I have? I'm gonna bid the spark.
Yep.
To see if I can make any sense of the runes that are on it. Because Leah's going to be wondering, well, will this actually just make her better if I try and cut her up with this?
Bidding the spark, you're attempting to translate the runes?
Yeah.
As you heft this thing up, it is so heavy and long, it's a little unwieldy. There's the thought, perhaps, how in the hell did Lady Cali throw this thing? Because she's a smaller person than Leah. And nowhere near as, military strong-wise. And she launched it one-armed. You see, that despite the weight of it and the length of it, once you have it up, it's actually rather well-balanced. Just whatever its purpose is, you're not entirely certain. You notice a few of the runes, and together, while you can't translate them, you perhaps have seen them before, and you get a feeling. Fortune. Something about luck. As you look around, maybe on the blade, the first word that pops in your head is vengeance, retribution, avenging, something along those lines. And as you just take in this weapon, you realize that it is absolutely ancient.
Makes me think, it makes me think of this. At least I'm assuming I'm understanding where you're going with this. It kind of makes me think of the Gaebolg spear from Irish mythology. Basically, the idea behind it was anytime you threw it, it would invariably hit its target.
Although it did not hit its target when she threw it at Tony.
True. So luck.
Yeah, when game mechanic wise,
game mechanic indeed. Actually, she threw it at Nord. Game mechanic wise, I just read you the traits on it, but
yeah,
within the lore. It's this idea of you get the sense, Leah, of what this thing is for. Expertly crafted. However, while heavy, it is well balanced.
Well,
there's something There's something very different about this than, or I should say, about this from the bullets you have from the dagger, the dirk that Nord carries. This does not seem inherently powerful in the same way. It's something else. Let me put this to in out of game terms. It is a relic. A relic is something that has enough traits, it's been used enough to where it has a story.
Okay.
It's not magical.
Okay. So it's kind of like, it's almost in a sense what's the Japanese, the notion of everything having a spirit and, you know.
Mm. Exactly. It'd be like if 100 years from now, someone found Nord's camera or Simon's flask. Like, it has a story, it has power because of that. Those are relics.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Well, Leah, you know, being at the very least satisfied in knowing that it probably is not going to help Lady Callie, she takes it over to Lady Callie's body and starts, you know, cutting off her limbs for her. to throw them into fire in a bid bloody.
That's a perfect bid. Right, so this will be a sanity roll. here are the stakes. In typical sanity roll fashion, If you fail it, then you gain a derangement. Regardless, you will gain a flaw. For chopping up bodies, that's just neurodivergent. That's going to happen. So it's all about, do you gain a derangement or not? Utter failure and the like would be two derangements. All right, so as you saw off Lady Callie's. How do you start this?
Oh, I mean, it wouldn't be sawing off. It'd just be like,
chop? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, you're. If you ever seen somebody chop wood,
yeah.
You know, you sort of, you know, find the place where you want to hit, and then you go up and one clean strike.
Yeah. So you do that, and just like when you chop wood, you're like, damn it! That did not go where I thought it was going to go. What do you bid?
In addition to bloody?
No. Oh, bloody. That's what it is. Throw down, please.
Yeah.
This is for your sanity. Mind and action. And I will describe based on your sanity roll. Meanwhile, Nord, you hear the sound of someone chopping wood or something like it.
All right, Rebecca, I expect strange things to happen. I think we go find my friends. I don't know. I think we'll head towards it. Where are we? We're on like the second story.
Yeah.
I'm kind of is there anything glowing around here?
Only Coney and the braziers.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go to the edge and look over the edge.
And, north side or south side?
Where we can't. I'm going to go to the edge where the sound is coming from.
Yeah. You look down, you see Leah chopping up Lady Callie's body.
And I'm gonna shout down once I throw down my sanity.
Rebecca looks, she goes, what she screams in your ear.
That is, I got two successes. I don't know how many successes I need just by
you both are going to fail right now. The threshold to chop up a body and do it cleanly to where you don't lose your sanity is 5. Question.
Can I?
Nord,
so I'm going to.
For you, the threshold is trace.
3.
Or you're not the one doing it.
Can I? I'm going to bid a trait for the pain to activate Kobayashi Maru.
Yep.
To grab Rebecca Foster by the eyes and try to distract her immediately.
By the eyes?
Well, I mean, just put my cover her eyes.
Oh.
And cover her eyes. Pull her back.
Like,
and just okay.
Pop her eyeballs out.
I'm going to cover her eyes and pull her back and say, oh, shit.
Yeah, as she falls on you, you're on your back. Yeah. She's on top of you.
And then I'm going to yell out, Leah, what the hell are you doing?
Leah, what'd you get?
Okay, so I got 3 successes first, right? So what I'm going to do, first I'm going to bid Unscathed to activate Turmoil and Philosophy, and Leah kind of pauses for a second, which, you know, that's a normal success. Leah kind of pauses for a second and says, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Like, maybe this is not the best way to deal with the problem. And then I'm going to bid Massad to activate Counterpoint and say, no, we need to make sure this bitch stays dead.
Yep. How many successes you got total?
That's 7 total after that.
So as in this game, in the errata, you cannot get a narrative point without rolling over 2, but in this game, we've been playing this way, so you get a narrative point since you beat it by 2.
Okay.
In the errata, it's going to be... You can gain successes, however, but to actually get the narrative point, it has to be rolled.
Gotcha.
That is neither here nor there. As you've chopped off a leg or two, as you hear Nord, you're covered in blood, by the way. As in, like, thwack, thwack. You've kind of, like, gotten into the swing of this. Maybe even thrown a foot up. As you have this internal monologue, which, by the way, is really good. This back and forth with yourself, Leah, as you go to your grisly work and you hear Rebecca chirp and Nord say what he has. The action is on you guys.
Do I need to try to figure out? You said 5 successes?
No, 3 for you.
3 for me? Yep. Well, I still need to... I am going to... Pull the coat over my eyes and her eyes. I was going to do this, but I'm going to pull my coat of many colors over my eyes and her eyes and say,
yep.
And like, I'm going to dose her with some anti-poison just because.
Yep.
There's no trait associated with the anti-poison, but I don't know if she's poisoned or not. So why not? And I'm going to start kissing the side of her ear saying, and whisper to her, you know, she's crazy. Just
it's hot.
Give her some distance.
How many successes did you get?
I will need to roll 1 more die.
Yep.
And then it didn't land correctly. That would be 2 additional successes.
Nice.
So that's 4 for
all
me.
Right. Clean.
And then success. I don't know if the anti-poison helped her out or I'm just throwing something down her throat.
You just throw in her face. Nord, you will get a flaw. You do not get a derangement. You get a flaw called kinky.
Oh shit. Nice.
Help.
My flaws section is like
is enormous.
Yeah, same.
Leah, what is your flaw that you get from chopping up this body? I need the chat and players to help with this. What's a good flaw for Leah?
Psychopath. She already have
Undertaker.
That one. Hulker?
Undertaker is a good thing.
Drizzle? I want options.
Well, I'm thinking. I'll
give you 5 seconds. Five. Boom.
Yeah, Leah's doing a good thing. Come on.
I can't think of anything right offhand.
The flaw?
Yep. For chopping up bodies.
If she sees something like roadkill,
uh-huh,
she might just chop it up out of curiosity. See what's in there. Why not?
What would you call that?
Taxidermy.
Curiosity.
Morbid curiosity. Undertaker's interesting. But I want this to be more grisly. Undertaker's a little bit like, I beat Undertaker, I kill him. No. No.
How about grisly business?
Yeah.
Arranged.
We'll go with that. Grisly business. That's good. That's good. That way you can use it, but also it has that connotation. Lord. Tony, you're sitting there. Several of the pages of this book break off as though, you know, when paper, after it's been burned, it turns black and then it turns into ash afterwards. Yeah. It's overly burned. You see several of the pages. As you've cast spells from this book, you realize it won't last forever. Action's on you, sir. You are alone on the south side of the pyramid. You hear Rebecca Foster's scream and then Nord's sweet nothings in her ear. You hear the thwack, thwack.
I start running around the corner.
Yep.
And just out of curiosity, am I still kind of glowing at this point?
Yeah.
You know, if Rebecca is screaming at the sight of another body chopping up, and she turns around and sees someone else who's...
Well, you're below, and she's up top. And Nord has her under his coat, and he's, like, kissing her neck.
I say, because I hear Nord, I say, Nord, what the hell's going on up there?
I think Leah's cutting up what's left of Lady Callie. Didn't we shut the door to hell? I don't know what to do with Leah. I really don't. I feel like we're just better off leaving her be.
Fuck.
Where the hell's the door?
I think the door is that first room that we went to.
Let's go on. Still going.
I agree. Can I follow?
Fuck. Where are you going?
Where we saw that amphitheopod, what is it called? I said that wrong.
Ambiolish.
Yeah, but you might want to
side entrance.
You might want to wait for me. I got something that might help you not get
What's
killed.
That?
A potion, because I think if we're not covered in something that it doesn't like a magicka of some sort, it's going to eat through your brain.
It's piss, isn't it?
I don't know. I might be out of pee at this point. Should we roll to see if I have any pee left?
Hey, Leo, roll me a d12 and tell me high or low.
It was low. Yeah.
And what'd you call it?
Oh, okay. I'll call it first. So I'll say high. No, that was low again.
You're out. You're empty.
Hulker got a
MTP.
I'm gonna have to drink some more bourbon for this. Fuck.
Did you hear me, Hulker? Harry Bunkum gave you a narrative point.
Thank you, Harry Bunkum.
It's fine. I'm going.
Rebecca Foster is on top of you. Oh. She's like, where are you going?
We're gonna go away from here. I think we're gonna go see Hulker. Or not Hulker.
Who's Hulker?
Tony. Hulker doesn't exist. He's confused. Hulker's a Patreon, but we don't need to worry about Patreons.
Let's go.
I'm gonna grab her and use my coat to kind of shield her. Let's just leave that alone over there to do whatever that is. Yeah. Am I still a little translucent? Or is that completely over?
That's over.
I'm completely
corporeal.
I'm glowing.
Corporeal. Are you still glowing?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're still glowing, you might be safe. But I'm going to mix up a little potion.
Rebecca
really
says,
fast.
Safe from what?
Well, just hide behind this door. We're going to go in this other room. And
as you come down the stairs to the other room, Simon, you're opening the chest. Within. What do you find in the fucking chest? Ma. Simon, looking into this chest, you see sand at the bottom of it. There are buried in this sand glass bottles. They look like bourbon bottles, actually. We'll see how many there are. Roll a d6.
One.
All right. C2. They're full of, or mostly full of balloons of liquid. Looks like maybe there's something else within the sand itself.
I'll use the bottle to kind of stir around the sand to see if I can see anything.
As you move one of the bottles, you hear it sloshing the liquid. You see the liquid, it's brown. It looks like bourbon. As you hear the kink kink of glass against perhaps something metal.
Okay. I'll reach down to where I clinked it and kind of brush away the sand to see if I can see what it is.
As you put your hand in the sand, shot rings out. Find yourself in your reverie again. The dark room of the Hemlock Hoodlum. Rain outside. The detective you just shot in the chest stares at you with wide eyes, falls to his knees, falls over, dead. You look up, and through the winding corridor at the end, you see Alfred.
Albert.
Oh, right. Ken wanted to rename him. Alfred. But yeah, Albert. Sometimes he went by Alfred. Staring. He's got his gun up at you, eyes wide. You hear the silly cackle of the Hemlock Hoodlum somewhere in this room. Ha! Actions under.
Albert, what are you doing? We've got to go after him.
You just shot.
He ran in front of me while I was shooting.
You see him aghast at what you've done. There's a mixture of emotions on his face.
I was shooting for the hoodlum, and he ran in front of me. He should know better.
Action's on you.
Why do you have that? We've got to go after him, and I will turn to, I'll start to turn towards the sound.
As you turn towards the sound, and you see this warehouse full of mannequins and winding paths of detritus, it's been laid out like a haunted house, like intentionally so. Lightning flashes. There's no light in here, of course.
Is it still, is this LSD still pouring down?
As far as you know.
Okay. I'm headed towards where I hear that, because I don't know it's LSD. So, I'm heading towards where I hear any kind of sound or movement. Laughter. And I will bid, I'll bid a flaw called In the Fog to do it.
Making your way around, you hear the thunder. Floorboards beneath you creaking. Reluctantly, Alfred follows a little bit far behind. You can tell you're going to have a conversation with him. You could tell in his eyes he didn't trust you. Something dark lurking there. As you round a corner, there's, of course, a doorway. It looks like it's been barred shut, maybe with a chair or something. And there's what may be candlelight, maybe a small like light bulb of light peeking through the cracks. You can see movement of a shadow. You hear the whimper of someone the Hemlock Hoodlum has, and you hear the Hemlock Hoodlum's gnarly voice saying, this is the end for you. This is the end for you. They'll never get us.
Okay. So is the chair barred on this side of the door?
Other side.
Okay. I'm going to go up and kick the doorknob, kick right beside the doorknob as hard as I can.
All right, what do you bid?
I will bid power through to do that.
Describe this as it hurts your leg, but you're able to bust it down.
Yeah. Well, with the adrenaline that's going on and also the start of the delirium that's coming on, I run up and I kick... First I kick it and I hit the door handle, and that's not what you're supposed to do at all. And it jars my leg, but like I said, the delirium's starting to kick in. So I kind of push the pain away and give it a second kick. And this time I hit it just right and it pops the door open, and you hear the chair like scoot and clatter against the floor and slide across the room.
You see, in this large, it almost looks like an attic that's been populated with old children's toys strewn out everywhere, like blocks and all kinds of stuff, and like ancient birthday party floss is hung up and like ripped and such. You see, standing with his back to you in this trench coat, the Hemlock Hoodlum. He's got his ski mask pulled down, and he's hunched over someone in a chair. Probably a child. You can see like their 2 feet kicking.
Stop now or I'm going to shoot.
As you hear the cackle from him, you can't stop this.
And
as he raises his hand high, with a razor blade in it.
Okay.
To come down.
Whichever hand he raises, I'm going to aim for his shoulder blade of that hand or of that arm. So I'm not trying to kill him. I'm trying to disarm him, basically.
You hit the girl, you hear Alfred yell Alfred. Albert yell as Albert attempts to tackle you to the floor.
We have to stop him.
Do you spend cunning? Because Alfred, Albert is tackling you. You hear doom, 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 doom,
yes,
from I'll behind spend, you.
I'll
Your tasty, tasty resources.
Yeah, I'll spend cunning.
Never enough bourbon. Or maybe there's always too much bourbon.
Yeah. I will spend cunning, and then I will bid bad cop. Because right now I'm more concerned with stopping him than necessarily the safety of the girl.
As you shoot.
Okay.
One. Threshold to hit the Hemlock Hoodlum is 3. And you get your Chaos Die for the called shot.
Okay.
Become a Patreon member today, and you too
today
can fund our everyday expenses that we have in order to make this incredible bit of live action play possible. You too can be a Patreon member by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/dreadlore.
Dreadlore. What'd you get?
Good. I'm at 3 right now, and I'm trying to get one more. Sorry.
Limbo. What'd you get on your chaos die?
I got 6 on my chaos die.
Nice. That's a success.
Woot. Yep. And then, because in all honesty, I'm afraid if I hit Limbo, that means I hit the girl as well.
You are, would be correct.
That's where I'm trying to. Okay. I bid 2 proficiencies, and I did 2 traits, but it got me to 4.
All right. Roll damage. For your gun, I believe it's 2d4+1.
Yeah.
And then plus the 1. Which is past the success.
8.
Blasting the Hemlock Hoodlum in the shoulder. You see his scapula explode. His arm will probably never work the right way again. He spins around in fury and pain. As he backs up, losing his balance, falling, stumbling on his heels, he goes through the window.
Okay.
Down, so how many floors can roll a d6?
Ooh. 2.
2 floors. You see in front of you the girl, but before you can actually catch what she looks like, Albert. No, you bastard! Slams you to the ground, taking his gun and putting it at your head.
He just went out the window. We've got to get him.
You see the hammer is cocked. It's back. As Albert is looking at you like he's going to kill you. And then as you say that, he grits his teeth. There's something behind the eyes, something he hasn't told you. Idiot! As he gets himself up and runs to the window and out the window without even looking at the girl.
Okay. I will get up and head over to the window first to see his progress, and then, like, just a quick look.
You see him going down a fire escape.
Okay, and then I'll head over to the girl and check on her.
Her hair is down as you go and check on her. She's all bruised and stuff. As you push her hair back. What is it? You see Mariah's face. As Simon, you stammer back for a moment. The fever dream melts as you're staring at Mariah. You're in this room again, holding the bottle of bourbon, and she's looking up at you. Well, what is it? What's in the box?
Sorry, I was just remembering something. It looks like I found two bottles of bourbon, and there's something else down here I've got to uncover.
As you reach down and pull it out, this artifact looking thing, it kind of looks like a gun, but an ancient kind of gun. It doesn't have a wheel or any bullets or anything. It has a barrel, that's obvious. The barrel is ornate. It has holes in it. It's made of metal, and it's fashioned in the likeness of a dragon. The mouth, the barrel end, is the dragon's mouth, spitting out perhaps fire. The body, the barrel of it, is the body of the dragon, as it sort of forms into what could be held. You don't see any obvious trigger or anything. It looks like maybe something could be stuffed inside of the barrel. You know, it's about, say, 3 feet long. So it's kind of like a sawed-off shotgun-looking thing.
This kind of looks like a blunderbuss, but maybe
you get a narrative point.
But
as maybe, it in fact looks like a blunderbuss.
Maybe from China or Japan and not the European region.
DJ NoFly redeemed, don't slouch.
Let's see if we can see what's in that other chest.
Outside. Leah, you're about a third of the way through chopping up a body and having thrown bits and pieces of it into a brazier. It's grisly work. It takes a while. You know, you've chopped through some ligaments, and there are some bits and pieces that are tougher to get through, and organs have spilled out, and you're covered in blood and shit.
Yeah, it's like a scene from American Psycho. You know, it's all good.
Lady Callie's face with a big bullet wound is still there looking up at, staring at you.
And every time you move, you feel like the eyes slightly follow you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, keep looking, you bitch. I want you to... Actually, Leah might kind of have a bit of a... not a psychotic break moment, but like, you know, she'll see what Drizzle said and kind of, you know, take a pause for a second, you know, to catch her breath and get down real low, in front of Lady Callie's face and say, I hope you're still watching in there. I want you to witness every single second as I tear you to pieces and rend them in the flames.
You definitely lose sanity there. So gain a derangement.
Okay.
As you gain this derangement and somehow know Lady Callie can see you. She can feel this. You're getting back at her through this corpse. Yes. Going a little nutty.
And when I get done with you, I'm going to find that Loretta fucking bitch, and I'm going to do the same thing to her.
As you continue, fuck.
Yeah.
Nord and Tony, you get to the outer room. You see, just like before, all looking straight on, it just looks like the room. There's the two braziers, which have the blue fire in this rectangular room. It is long to the left and right, very shallow ahead of you. But when you look to the left and the right, out of your peripheral vision, in front, like hovering in the air, you can just see like a translucent scar that's wavering, almost like in the wind, this tear in the realms.
In there, Tony, read the book in there. I think, can I, I would like to pull out some white and some purple of my little pouches and create a little catnip, because I'm scared as fuck.
Are you going to try to create catnip on the fly?
Yeah, on the fly.
Okay.
So I've got the elements. Basically it's a sense of invincibility, and it's it allows me to it's a little bit of addicted. All right.
Yeah, you got to make it first, and then we'll talk about what it does.
Yeah.
Because you may fuck it up.
It's true. It's true. And to so do
what do you bid to, do the, to make this catnip?
To do the catnip, I'm gonna bid my mithridism, which is my poison resistance, to activate chemistry. Which is my ability to make this thing, this concoction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kind of use my coat. I'm going to set my coat on the ground and do it, so I get a little place to mix it up and the different vials and stuff.
All right.
And pull, just put them together and shake them up a little bit, and then I'll probably just go ahead and eat it.
I mean, why not?
Well, I mean, I'm feeling very invincible, so a little sense of invincibility, a little sense of, I'm getting ready to step, like I don't feel invisible anymore, or like a little bit invisible. I feel like if I step into this room to help Tony out, this thing is going to eat me. So I need something to help me out with it. Basically, it gives me one additional success to reaction rolls, but it deals me two damage if I when I take it, I guess, is the way I read it.
Yeah, you got to make it first.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is all about the making of it.
All right.
So we'll see if that's successful, and then we'll see what happens. As you bid to make this concoction, you'll need to throw down.
All right, I've thrown it down. And that is three successes. So I think I've hit limbo. No, that's four successes. And I also rolled a 10.
Yeah, that means you get flare.
And so I should be able to get one of my things back. And I just take it. I just take it immediately. Like, let's go get this thing, Tony. close the border from America to the bowels of hell. Yeah. Mind you.
Yeah, let's close this border down.
They don't have the right documentation. Documents, like, I don't see any passports.
Nord,
close it down so we can do less work.
Throw it on your chaos die since you're mixing up the wine.
What is the chaos die?
It's a d6. Unless you have something that raises it.
No, I don't. I'm going to spend my fabrication to reroll. Actually, instead of spending my fabrication, can I use because I just used it, I would like to use it again, the Mithrandism, that's the trait I choose to get back, to activate Quick and Dirty, which gives me two additional successes. Am I making that up?
No, it's fine. It's just, it's the chaos.
Oh, this is the chaos. Oh, no, you're right. You are correct. Yeah, so I'm going to use fabrication to reroll. That's a 4. That's an additional.
So that's an extra success. All right, so that means you have Nerda point. Okay. What that does is I'm looking at the table. So we're going to determine the side effects. And we're going to make it a whole fucking deal. So as you hit danger level 3, so it'll be either a danger level 2 or 1. Who wants to roll a d12?
I'll do it.
And who wants to roll the other d12? So I need 1 and 1. Roll. Yeah. Tell me what you get.
I got a 2.
I got 4. A 4.
Okay. Yeah. Ken, stay high or low, and Drizzle, roll a d12 and tell us if it's high or low.
High.
It is low.
Oh.
All right.
Can I spend a fabrication to have him reroll?
Yeah, you can.
All right. Do that.
You sticking with high?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with high.
It's a 2.
Oh, shit.
Owned.
Can I spend a learning proficiency?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, call it.
We'll go with high again.
That's a 10.
All right. In that case, it is danger level 1 minor side effect. Andrea, what did you roll?
I rolled a 4.
And Hulk, what did you roll?
I rolled a 2.
Ken, you get to decide which side effect this is. As you stuff this catnip in your mouth, do you have bloodshot eyes and cotton mouth? Or do you have, is the catnip foul tasting yet simultaneously amazing?
I just because I think narratively this is interesting, I think it should be foul tasting and amazing because my eyes are already bloodshot and I already have cotton mouth.
As you taste this stuff, it tastes like raw medicine. It's awful, and yet somehow you are an addictive person.
It's kind of like Boost. You know that Boost, like when you're sick or whatever, you take the Boost and it's got that foul like metal thing, but it's also chocolate.
That's it. It's foul and metal and chocolate. As you get the effects of catnip, you want to say what catnip does?
And catnip is basically, it's made from a variety of a witch hazel, which is a green plant with yellow flowers found in Dalun's grasslands. The leaves are mixed with special pigments, then finely ground up so it can be snorted, added to cocktails, food, you name it. It's a mildly addictive, as loads of Burks can attest. It's difficult to resist a reckless feeling of invincibility while under the influence. Catnip will ramp you up higher than the firmament for a few minutes, but with a cost. Snorting catnip gives you 1 additional success to reaction rolls, but deals you 2 damage for the courtesy. The duration of the benefits lasts for a few minutes. It doesn't last necessarily a whole encounter, and I may or may not become addicted to this stuff. in time. So that's
so exciting. Are you snorting it? He's putting
yeah, probably snorting it.
All right, so all right, take 2 damage. And remember, you get that additional success to your reaction rolls as you get amped up, ready for it. Tony, you roll into the room. You see Nord concocting something as he snorts it out of his hand and his coat. It kind of burns a little hole in his coat as some of it falls off. What are you doing, Tony?
I go in with my glowing personality.
Yep.
And I say, that's the portal, huh?
Yeah. That's the cut, the rift. We got to close the rift. Do we see the thing?
As I described it.
Can I bid?
Lift the book up a little bit, Tony.
Yeah. To see. You can't see the book.
Yeah, there you go.
That's perfect.
I read a passage from the book.
Do I need to re-describe the scene? Do you guys actually know where you are and what you're doing?
Did we step into the room? No, I don't think. I was in the middle of trying to figure out how to... Could you re-describe it one more time?
Yeah. So you've just walked into a rectangular room. You are on... If you look left, you see the room go that way. Look right, the room goes that way. So the width... I feel like I'm going to lose everybody by describing this. The length is longer than the width.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Double wide.
It's like a double wide. You could say that. Right.
It's double wide and long. It's like a hallway.
No, it's not like a hallway. It's like you're walking. God damn it. I just can't. You're like walking into a T. Does that make sense? You're walking into a T. All right. There's 2 braziers in here. Straight in front of you, all you see is the 20 feet and then the door leading out into where the pool is to get out of here. However, when you turn your head out of your peripheral vision, you see the scar tear in the realm fluttering like in the wind.
Yeah, that, I think we should affect that little tear. Do you think that's where they're coming from, Tony?
Where else?
I mean, I don't know. This is the only place that I saw. I mean, I presume this is where it's coming from.
Do we hear anything coming from this tear?
What do you bid?
I bid my flaw anxious anxiety because I just took some drugs that hurt me and I'm trying to calm my nerves because I'm afraid of hell.
As you bid this, as you turn your head, almost like water in your ear, you hear the swishing sound of voices. As you turn back, your head snaps too. Pretty sure it's coming from the room. Maybe out the peripheral vision, you see tendrils every so often poke through, but you can't be quite sure.
Yeah, I think it's in there. Do you think if I got closer, you could maybe focus if I like pointed and you could focus your spell? How does this magic thing work anyway? I'm not entirely sure. You read a book and like some shit happens.
Well, Nord, don't you know? Bad things happen when I read a book.
Bad and
maybe
good.
I shouldn't read a book. Maybe I should just close this book and walk out.
No, I think all the times to read the book, this is the time to read the book. Because, like, you saved my life. You made me float in the air. I mean, for a little while until you dropped me. And it hurt. And it was fine. I have faith in you.
Shut up.
Maybe you need faith in yourself.
CP Jones gave a narrative point to Nord.
You open up the book?
Yeah.
You do.
I start to read.
I'm going to pull you kicking and screaming through this narrative.
I open the book.
You start to read.
Yeah.
Now what? I turn the page.
Kaliba! Kaliba!
Looking for something I can recite to make something go away.
I'm going to bid Nord sense to see if I can see where it's coming from, my trait.
Yeah. Bidding Nord sense, you're pretty sure you can feel the rip, the scar. Tony. Again, this book is written in this weird language. You haven't read all the way through it. You have to have an intention. It's all about you.
I want this portal to close.
All right. What do you bid to make it happen?
I will bid. I shall bid prayer.
Okay. As you bid prayer, start praying and wanting this thing to close. Using the void to do this. What specifically is Tony trying to make? You got to describe it. You have to be as specific as possible. The less specific you are, the more chaotic it is.
Tony wants this tear. Wants the edges of this tear to go back, to be sewn back together by some unseen seamstress, bit by bit, until it is closed, and then two more seams. Because this is gonna be good, right? He wants. He wants this void to go away, to go back into the void.
As you start praying, reading from the page, you get the image in your mind, Tony, of a lady. There are birds all around her, these dark birds, and there's a chime sound, perhaps bird song, perhaps that of a nightingale. She's wearing somber colors and grays. She's hooded. You can just barely see some purple behind the hood where her eyes are. As you are praying, and she is taking notice, the Lady of the Veil. Roll your chaos die, and you'll have to throw down. This is big medicine.
Five on the chaos die.
Good, that's a success. So mind and your action. Threshold, 5.
3 plus the chaos die.
Okay, I'm not going to add your successes for you. You got to do your successes 4. On your dice.
Yeah. That's 4. And I will bid Frodo Baggins.
Okay. Is that to activate an ability or something, or what?
That's a trait. No, wait. I have to use a proficiency, right?
Proficiency to reroll. You bid a trait to activate an ability, which would give you successes. Ninja gear
I'll bid my last trait that I have not exhausted, and that is turmoil and philosophy.
Okay. Does it have any upgrades?
No.
Okay, then it doesn't do anything. Unless it does. Let me pull out the book.
No, let me pull out the book. It's on 186.
All right. Fuck.
Soupy Jones gave me a pip.
Hell yeah, I saw that.
Thank you, Soupy.
Doom, 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 doom.
I'm gonna spend my narrative point now and say okay. That while
Tony
is reading that, Nord is like swaying, like he's swaying with the tentacles. You know, he's kind of honing in and feeling the tentacles' movements and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And he's trying to like get in and mimic the vibe of the tentacles and maybe like pretend like he's a reflection. Maybe if it saw it, it would reflect. And maybe the tentacle thought would think that he's the mirror image of this creature as he waits for Tony to attack before, or just start reading before he goes in there willy nilly, but just as a cover. And I would like to bid my ability sneak to do that.
You didn't make out with this thing, so
I know. I did. So I'm getting familiar with it.
Tony,
I also
turmoil and philosophy doesn't increase my successes, but it looks like it decreases the other part, the successes needed.
All right, so decreases it by one. Ergo, how many do you have?
Four.
Okay, and that takes you to limbo. So it was threshold five, now it's four.
Can I assist him?
How are you going to do it?
I think by what I did, by kind of distracting. So
you're going to do that sneaking, instead of like protecting yourself, you're going to aid him somehow.
Oh yeah. Well, can I do that where it's like distracting? You sneak, I'll bid sneak to distract him like by the movement. Sure. Like
so you are distracting them with yourself.
Yeah, with myself.
Okay, cool. What aspect do you give him?
I'll give him my wits.
What's the die?
It's a D8.
You get a D8, sir. Roll it.
That's a three.
As Tony starts to speak the words from the page, Tony, you notice many pages start to burn. You get that image of the Lady of the Veil. Take notice. And two hands, ghostly hands, start knitting, crocheting really, the scar up as multiple hands come out. And in blinding speed, that tear is sewn up, cinched tight. She even bites off the end and spits it out. It's limbo, however. As you look at your book, and you see all but three or four pages ignite. So, roll a d6, and that's how many more spells you can cast out of it.
Two.
Are you sure you don't want to spend a proficiency to get more spells?
Yeah, that's a good. We'll use an expression. Good idea.
Okay.
That's fine.
I am the Ginger Beard Man, gifted us a tier one sub. What's up, Ginger Beard Man? So you get five. Boom. Five spells are left. All right. Let's take a short break really fast because I have to use the bathroom.
Get some water,
and we'll finish up this last scene, the grizzly scene.
Drizzle, you wanna do a thing.
Okay.
Read us out.
Thank you guys for hanging in there with us so far. We've got a little bit more left to go. The cast is me as Simon, Ken Howell as Nord, Andrea Elliott Johnson as Leah, Daniel Hulker as Tony, and Bill Buncombe as the Arbiter. Music thanks. We like to thank O Lowercase Letters and Mr. Interrupt. We'd like to thank our Patreon people, Nostalgic, Natalia Klein, Tim Roberts, Daniel Hulker. All the media and stuff is done by Couchfire Media. Thank you to them. And also thanks to Terrible Productions for whatever the fuck they do.
Thanks.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Minute or
after
two.
After these messages, we'll be right back.